Welcome to Creativity Talks with me, Susan Yates, artist, author, and creative entrepreneur. This show discusses topics around my fundamental belief that everyone is creative. Each week, through mindset talks, listener questions, and guest interviews, I will help to inspire you and bring creativity into your daily life. So grab a cuppa, sit back and relax, and let's get stuck in. Hi everybody, and a huge warm welcome to you this week's episode of Creativity Talks. I'm excited today to be sharing with you another interview with a creative person whose name is Sarah Funduck, and she is based in Canada, Ontario, Canada, with her husband Ryan and son Stanley, and she also says her three crazy cats. Now, she says that she is an art supply hoarder and uses all of the colours when she paints and is completely obsessed with patterns and has been making art since she was old enough to hold a crayon. Now, I personally came into contact with Sarah because of her founding and co-owning a company called Coursecraft, which is an online e-course platform. And it's actually the platform that I use personally to host all of my online teaching in my art subjects. And this is how I came across Sarah. And I have been using the company for a long time, and I know of her, and I also know that she paints. And in the biography and information that she sent me, she said that when she had her son, when her son was born, she almost let her creativity completely dry up. And it felt like she had no time to paint and certainly didn't have any time for all the setup, cleanup that went with it. And then one day during her nap time, not her nap time, the son's nap time, she pulled out some barely used watercolour palettes from her stash, and it just clicked. So after exploring watercolour for a bit, she was approached by a publisher to write a book all about it, which is amazing. And it was a massive surprise that anyone wanted her to write a book, is what she has said. And for her, it was an amazing project to work on, creatively really pushed her further than she thought possible. And then since then, she's expanded her artwork to include more of her first love again, which is pattern. So Sarah and I had a wonderful talk on Zoom, and bearing in mind we are across the world from each other, I still think this is an absolutely amazing thing that I can be sitting here in my little studio at home here in the UK and speaking to people halfway across the world about creativity influences and affects them. So let's dive straight in. Let's say hello to Sarah and start talking all about creativity. So hello and a huge welcome to you, Sarah, and thank you for coming on to the show to talk about creativity. Now, you've described yourself as an artist, an author, a mum, a maker of things, and co-founder of Coursecraft. So you balance quite a lot of things, which is fabulous. So I'm just going to sort of crack on and start asking you questions. And I thought I'd like to perhaps ask you a little bit about Coursecraft, because I'm going to mention it throughout the podcast, and just what Coursecraft is. It's a business you co-founded and run. What is it and how is it linked to creativity?
Well, Coursecraft is an e-course platform for creative entrepreneurs like yourself. You've been using it for a while. And I co-founded it in 2012 with my husband, Ryan. And at the time I was, I was making wedding invitations. I had a little Etsy shop making wedding invitations, and I was taking a lot of online courses about like art and using Illustrator and stuff like that. And I found the process as a student to be not so great. Like, there wasn't any e-course platforms back then. So it was all about like, you had a password protected blog and you had to email the password to your student and take the payment somewhere else. And it was just very, very convoluted and like hard to deal with. So I thought, like, you know, we can make something better than this. And so that's why we created Coursecraft.
Yeah, fantastic. And as you said, I do use the platform myself for delivering courses and now memberships. And I think it's really interesting that it seems to be very focused on creative people. Is there a reason that happened, or is that just naturally because you create yourself?
I think it's a little bit of both. We wanted to focus on like a certain group of people so that we could make the platform as best we can for those people. Mm-hmm. I really wanted something that would be easy to use for busy people who are maybe not super technically inclined. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to be something beautiful so it can showcase the artist's work in the e-course.
I think that's a really good point, because I think definitely I would describe myself as not beautifully technically inclined. And I think you're right. I think people delivering art or creative subjects have a certain visual way of working. So things need to look nice or display their creativity in a pleasing manner.
Yeah, exactly. We wanted like the artist's work to really shine on the page instead of our design.
Mm. Absolutely. I think that really works. I think it's great. You mentioned that you work with your husband. How's working with your other half? Does that go well all the time?
It actually does. We really do work well together.
Yeah.
In the beginning, it was definitely tricky to figure it out, because the way you talk to your spouse isn't the same way you talk to a coworker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can be like a lot more upfront and blunt with each other than you might be in a workplace.
Yeah.
So it was hard at first to not take things personally, I think, for both of us.
Yeah. Do you think it's helped being a creative person yourself in being able to shape the business and sort of change it with time as things have changed? Because I'm assuming that technology, and you set the business up in 2012, that's what, 10, 11, 9 years ago? I can't do the counting. So I'm creative. I don't do the counting either. It's a little while ago. So, you know, the world changes, technology changes. Do you think that being creative has helped you shift and move over those years?
Yes, I think it has. I think trying to stay connected to the creative community, like on Instagram and through our Facebook group. We have a Facebook group called Creative Online Course Makers.
Yeah.
And trying to stay connected to that community has helped to try to figure out what people like. Because when we started the business in 2012, most people didn't even have video in their e-courses, because having a video camera at home like wasn't really that common. Mm. And so we've really had to change our focus there specifically to include more video content and make it more friendly that way. So I think it's just a matter of like staying connected to the community and trying to figure out what people want. And I take a lot of courses too. So I see what I like, and I see what works for other people. And I try to bring that to CourseCraft too.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. And I think learning and researching and speaking to your community is a huge part of, I don't know, creating success within a business, because you really know who your audience is.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And in terms of yourself personally, what's your creative practice? What do you do? How do you express yourself creatively?
Well, that has sort of changed over the years. Like CourseCraft is definitely a creative outlet for me, but I've gone through a lot of phases in my creativity. Before my son was born, I was very into painting with acrylic paints, and I had like tons of big canvases all over my studio. And I thought like abstract art, big canvases, this is what I love to do. And then once I had a little tiny baby, sort of maybe a bit foolishly thought that it would be easy to just sort of like plunk him in a little bouncy seat on the floor and get my painting done. And it just did not work out like that at all. Like
I understand that. I feel that. I think just before we started the video, we're talking about how your son and my daughter are about the same age. They're four. Mm-hmm. And I totally get that thing of having all these wonderful plans that when you're on maternity leave, once you've got a baby, you'll be this wonderful mother that has a baby in one arm and a paintbrush in the other. And then the sort of reality of life sort of kicks in a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just didn't work out that way at all. Yeah. Like he wanted to be held all the time. Oh. I could not put him down.
Yeah.
And so I really needed to figure out another way to make art that wasn't so much of a process, like so much of a get everything out, clean everything up, big production. Mm. And so I found like a little watercolor palette, and I started playing around with that, and I started just grabbing like one pen and a piece of paper and just focusing on that. And so I feel like my art practice really simplified a lot over that period of time. And I think it was really good for me to change things up. Like when it didn't feel right, it felt good to try something different. And that's how things led into writing my book on watercolor too.
Fantastic. And do you think that sort of limitation of space and materials boosted your creativity in a way?
Oh, for sure. Definitely. I'm the kind of person who really works well under pressure and under time constraints. So that's one thing about being a mom that has actually been really extremely productive for me in a way.
Yeah.
Like limiting my art supplies has been great because I don't spend 20 minutes trying to figure out what to use. And if I know I only have, you know, 20 minutes while he's at the park with grandma or something, I try as hard as I can to like pack as much as I possibly can into that 20 minutes. And I find that that has sort of made me more productive than having like the entire day spread out before me. You know how it is when you have so much time, your work sort of fills that time. Yeah. And when you only have 20 minutes, 40 minutes or whatever, you still end up getting it done, but in a shorter time period.
Absolutely. I completely empathize with exactly what you're saying, because I experience exactly the same thing, that you've got just the half an hour, just the hour, whatever it might be, and you've just got to be productive in that time. There is no choice. You have to be. And I think those constraints can be so conducive to creativity and helpful for creativity, because when you could paint anything and you could draw anything and you've got all the materials to choose from, you've got to make so many choices before you even start putting pen or paintbrush to paper. And that can really stop creativity, I think. So I think that's absolutely a brilliant point. And how did you find the experience of writing a book? How was that for you?
The whole process sort of started when my son was about 6 months old. I got approached by a publisher about writing a book on watercolor. And I thought, oh, I don't know about this. Like, I have a little tiny baby. I don't sleep much. Like, I don't know if I can handle this project, but I couldn't turn down the opportunity. Like, I just couldn't say no to it. And the publisher said, like, you know, because of the way the industry works, it could end up being a really long time before the book is actually made. So you might have some time to like figure it out. And so luckily, the book didn't actually end up getting created for like another year and a half. So he was about two by the time I started actually working on the pages. And so I thought like, well, this is great timing. Like he's 2 years old. He's a little bit more independent. I can write this book during nap time, because that was finally consistent. And then he promptly stopped napping entirely.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
That's like, always when they stop napping.
Right. I think it was like the second day I was working on it. My office is right across the hall from his bedroom. And I could see him just standing at the door, staring at me, going, go to sleep, please.
Oh, bless you.
So I had to
take you to sort of write it then, or say write it. Obviously there's a lot of creative and illustrative work within it, because it's a book all about watercolor and playing with watercolors. How long did that take? Because there's 100 different prompts and projects and play activities in the book. That's quite a lot of stuff to create, isn't it?
I forget exactly how long it took, because that was all a bit of a blur. I think it was about 4 months. So it was a lot to, I was working every single day. Like I was producing a new page in the book basically every single day, and then making revisions and edits and taking photos again and writing and all that stuff.
I think
about 4 months.
Yeah. Fantastic. And did you find the experience made you more creative as well? Because you did things that wouldn't necessarily be your normal thing you would do in a sketchbook or with watercolor, or was it all things that you would normally be doing that you were demonstrating?
It definitely pushed me a lot further than I thought I could go, for sure. Like 100, it seems like a big number. And then when you really try to write down 100 ideas and you want them all to be good, it's a lot. So it definitely pushed me a lot to be more creative and really, like we were talking about before, just get it done, you know?
Yeah.
like think of an idea and try it out. And if it doesn't work, try something else, because I don't really have time to ponder all day long about what I should be doing.
No, fantastic. And I noticed in the book that I think that the book may have different titles in different countries, but here where I am in the UK, it's called Playing with Paints Watercolor. And again, in the subtitle, 100 Prompts, Projects and Playful Activities, that word play comes up a couple of times. Was there a conscious choice on using sort of play and paint when the book came out? Because I love that phrase.
Yeah, it's really what I like most about watercolor. And it's what I think drew me to it during that time when I had so little creative time, is that it almost feels like you put the paint down on the paper and then just sort of see what happens with it. Watercolor can be really unpredictable. And I think that's something that people sort of find intimidating about it sometimes, is that you don't really know what it's going to do when it gets on the page and what it's going to look like when it dries. Yeah. But I think that's what's so fun about it, is that you can really play with it. You know, you can put it down on the paper and just sort of see what happens.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Yeah, because I did an episode on the podcast a couple of weeks back where I talked about the importance of creative play, and just that not sort of planning or thinking something's finished, but just giving yourself freedom to experiment and play, and just how it's a really lovely, non-intimidating word that makes people relax into things. So yeah, I think that was a really great use of the word in your book. And I was also going to ask you, how has being a mother affected your creativity? I know we've touched on it a sort of couple of times, but I'm assuming it's sometimes positively, sometimes negatively. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think in some ways it has sort of negatively impacted my creativity, where at the end of the day, if I feel really drained, I just don't have anything left for something that's not essential. Yeah. Like creativity sometimes feels not essential during the day. And other times, like we talked about, having that time constraint can be so sort of freeing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think I experience the same thing as you. Sometimes I get to the end of the day, it's kind of 8 o'clock, I've finally got little one to sleep, and then I'm like, right, I've got time to create. And I'm like, actually, I'm just going to have a glass of wine.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. I'm done for the day. I'm out. that can be a tricky one. It can be a tricky one. I totally agree. Now, I noticed as well that when you sent me some information about what you do and what you love to do, that your first sort of love in your artwork is pattern and playing with pattern. What's it that you love about sort of working with pattern particularly?
I really like that you can take one sort of motif, one little drawing, you know, say you draw a little strawberry on the page, and it's kind of boring just sitting there on its own, all alone on the page. And then as soon as you start adding more strawberries to the page, repeating that across the page, it becomes something. And it's such a like easy, fun way to play around with art, I think.
Yeah, no, fantastic. I think it's like the strawberries are dancing across the page. It's interesting. It has movement, doesn't it? Rather than a little lonely strawberry all on his own.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And would you say that you have always been creative since you're very young?
Well, I mean, it's a bit of a cliche to say it now, but
yeah,
you know, people are born creative. And I think that it sort of gets harder, at least for me. I feel like it gets harder as you get older to really stick with it and to like not be so hard on yourself. You know, I see my son drawing and creating things, and he never looks at his drawings and says, I don't like this. This is not good. It doesn't look like a real airplane. It's sort of hard to keep that, I think.
Yeah. Keep that sort of pure creativity and that innocence and that curiosity that toddlers have. And that's certainly something that I've observed with my daughter as well, is, you know, they'll draw something and the next minute they've screwed it up and thrown it away. And I can never do that. I'm so precious with things I've created. And I think you're right that as adults, we've got so many layers of experience, complexity, thoughts that are layered on top, that as a, you know, a four-year-old, a three-year-old, a young child hasn't got that yet. So there isn't the pressure, the insecurity, all the things that we may have as grown-ups thrown on board. And I just love that pure joy of a small person creating. And yeah, sometimes I wish I could be so bold drawing my aeroplanes.
Absolutely. Oh, but if you, I'm sure you've experienced this too. If you ever want a little boost in your art confidence, show your art to a 4-year-old, because they will always think it's the most beautiful thing they have ever seen. Like if I'm ever feeling down about myself, I open up my sketchbook and I show my son, I think this is what I painted today. What do you think of it? Oh, mama, it's so lovely.
Oh, that's adorable. And I completely agree. My little girl goes, wow, mommy, it's a flower.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a brilliant tip for any parents out there.
Yeah, show your art to your kids. Definitely share your art with your children too.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good thing for future generations and to encourage creativity in young people going forwards. Do you do a lot of art with your little one?
I do. Yeah. He is very, very into arts and crafts. We have a table set up in his room and he has one of those rolling art carts and it's just full of art supplies and we're always making and creating together. I really want him to see me working on stuff like that.
Mm.
And I want to work with him and I want to be inspired by him and I want him to be inspired by what I do too.
Fantastic. That's great. Cause I think there can be a little bit of, I mean, certainly when I was younger, I heard several times, when are you going to get a real job?
Oh my goodness.
Have you ever heard that phrase yourself?
Oh yeah, for sure. I've always had, well, ever since I started Coursecraft, really, I've had like sort of unconventional jobs and I've worked at home since then too. Mm. And I think only now with the pandemic is working from home getting more acceptable, but I definitely had a lot of like, oh, but you're just home all day. Wouldn't that be nice?
but I'm working.
I'm working. I really am.
No, absolutely. And do you have any like bits of advice that you've been given in the past about creativity that have stuck with you and things that you think that just keep coming back and you remind yourself of?
I think there are two things that have really helped me. One is to really try to work through the bad art that you make, because there's going to be a lot of stuff that you make that you don't like. Mm. And I think part of creativity where you really start to get creative is when you take that drawing that you just made and you look at it a little bit critically and you say, how could I improve this? Could I change the scale? Could I change the color scheme? Could I flip this around? Could I use a new medium? How can I improve on this? And just sort of like keep trying to iterate and keep trying to transform what you made. Mm. I think everybody can make art and I think everybody should, but I think where the real creativity happens is when you're not just happy with the first thing that you made, that you keep trying over and over and over again and get through all those bad ones to get something that's really, like, really special.
Mm. No, I agree. And I think a lot of people coming to creative hobbies for the first time, or certainly in my experience of teaching people that do sketching and drawing and painting, people assume that you do the thing right the first time and there aren't the bad sketchbook pages or the bits that you throw out or the things you discard. And it is an up and down experience. Some days you are tired and you try and do something that doesn't come out the way you expected and you get annoyed with yourself, or, you know, there's all these emotions going on. There's all this stuff going on. So I think it's important for anyone doing creative activities, whether it is art or whether it's other practices, to work through that bad stuff and to ride the roller coaster that is the highs and that is the lows.
I think it can be a bit of a hard line to walk too, because you don't want to be too hard on yourself.
Hmm.
You don't want to just trash everything you make because you don't think it's good enough. Hmm. But you do want to be a little critical of your own work, I think. I think that is helpful.
Hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. Is there something that really inspires you? Like, what inspires you the most? And this could be absolutely anything from other artists, subject matter, completely anything at all.
I think what inspires me the most is color. Because I think it can really transform a piece. You know, like say you're working on a pattern or something, some sort of drawing, and it's a bunch of garden vegetables. You know, you've got carrots and you've got radishes and you've got tomatoes. And so you paint the tomato red and you paint the carrot orange and it looks nice. But like, what if you painted the carrot pink? And what if the tomato was blue? And all of a sudden it becomes something really unique and different and exciting.
Mm. Mm. No, absolutely. I do love color. And I think that's definitely something I noticed about your book with the watercolour is it's incredibly colourful and playful, colourful as well. It is playful, and colour is, I mean, it's a huge subject if you're talking about sort of art and painting and everything. It's a massive subject. So that's going to keep you going for a while.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I really enjoy like sort of intuitively picking colors and picking colors that you wouldn't normally see. I have so much trouble. I know a lot of artists sort of have this like color scheme or color palette that they stick to and they feel comfortable with. And I just can't do that. Like, I want all of them.
I'm kind of with you though. I want all the colors. Absolutely. And I can see behind you, there's a big color swatch. Obviously for the people in the podcast, they're not going to be seeing you as I am, but there's a big color swatch behind Sarah as I'm seeing her on the screen. So I can see all the colors behind her.
Yeah, that's one of those Spoonflower color swatches.
Ah, yeah.
So you can see what all the colors look like when they're printed out on fabric, which is really helpful. Fantastic. And it looks so pretty too.
I love stuff like that. It's absolutely amazing. And do you have a favorite book or a favorite quote about creativity that you could share with us?
There is one book. I have it right next to me, not that people on the podcast can see, but it's called The Creative License by Danny Gregory. Have you heard of this one?
I have, yeah.
I really like this book because Danny Gregory, if you don't know of him, he didn't start making art until his late 30s. And before that, he didn't really consider himself an artist. And on the back of the book, it describes the book as a celebration of amateurism, which I love because he draws everything. He draws sort of mundane things. You know, he'll draw his breakfast every morning and he'll draw the bottles in his medicine cabinet. And the book is just like packed full of really great advice for people who maybe don't consider themselves artists, but want to be creative.
Yeah.
It was really, really inspiring.
Yeah. I've got another book of his actually, Art Before Breakfast.
Yes,
which I think is on a similar theme of drawing his breakfast and doing sort of 5 minutes a day of sketching. And it is fabulous and very approachable and accessible for beginners, anyone sort of starting out sketching, as well as people who are experienced, have been doing it for years, because I think we can all carry on learning. And I mean, I'm slightly addicted to art books, so I have many of them on my shelves.
Yeah, it's hard to pick a favorite.
Yeah, no, it is, absolutely. And then a kind of a really big question is, what does creativity mean to you? How would you define it?
That is a very big question.
A very big question, sorry.
I think we can all be creative in our lives every day. I think again, sorry not to be too repetitive, but it's about going through a process and not just checking a box like I did my drawing for the day. I feel like the real creativity happens when you really think about the colors that you love and why you enjoy the medium that you chose. And maybe even, you know, not being afraid when your creative practice isn't working for you anymore and it needs to transform and change with your life too, because it probably will change a lot during your life depending on what's going on. And it's not always going to look the same.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's okay. And I think that's something that I have definitely sort of learned with time. And I did a fine art degree sort of 20 years ago. So I did fine art. And then I've gone through phases where I've done absolutely nothing at all, completely dried up. And then at times I'm full of creativity. And there's this journey that, and all different mediums, I pick up new mediums, I've got a new hobby every week.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I'm totally addicted to art materials and, you know, don't let me loosen an art shop.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I find art materials inspiring. I really do, because it's the possibility of what you could do with them.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, trying new things is always fun. And like you said, not being afraid of the lulls and the downtime sometimes, where if you don't have anything in you for your creativity, it's okay to take a break. Like when after I finished writing my book, it was such a fast pace I was trying to keep up, and I was churning out so much work that afterwards I just couldn't do anything for like months too. Yeah. And I tried not to be too hard on myself about that. I tried to just give myself a break, and that's okay to take a break.
Oh, I agree with you. And I think when I've done projects or when I run my sketchbook challenge, that's really intense for a month, I am exhausted at the end of it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm creatively inspired, but also I'm just very aware that I need to recharge before I can sort of recreate things again.
Like let those ideas simmer in your brain for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of that's good. All of that's okay. Definitely. Yeah. Well, it's been really interesting. I've pretty much covered all the questions I wanted to ask you. I think the last thing I wanted to sort of say, do you have any final tips for my listeners about developing creativity or sustaining a creative practice?
I think just trying to find something that works for your lifestyle and something that you enjoy. I don't think creativity should be something that it feels like a slog, even though sometimes it can feel like a slog if you're working on a big project, but it should be fun. Find something fun that you can do. And also it's nice to, I find this really helps my creativity, is to have some time alone that isn't spent working if possible. I know it's hard when you're a parent to spend any time alone, not being productive, but if you can like sit outside for a few minutes or go for a walk, I find that really, it helps a lot.
Yeah. It's really good to recharge those batteries. That's for sure. Lovely. Well, and thank you ever so much, Sarah, for joining me today on the podcast. I think we covered quite a lot of things, and I wish you all the best success with both Coursecraft, with being a mum, and with your own creative practice.
Thank you so much for having me. It was very fun. Thanks a lot.
Thanks ever so much. Take care. Well, I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed my conversation with Sarah all about creativity. It was wonderful to get her insight into her business, Coursecraft. And if you're interested in Coursecraft, you can find it at www.coursecraft.net, and that will provide you with all the information about providing e-courses. And if you want to find out more about Sarah herself, her website is Sarah Funduck, which is sarafunduk.com. And you can see some of her artwork and also her book, which is all about watercolour. So I hope you have a wonderful week. I'll rejoin you again next week for another discussion all about creativity. Please don't forget, if you are interested in being a guest on the podcast, please do contact me. And I would love to talk to anybody and everybody all about creativity. Or if you know a creative person that would be great for me to interview, please do recommend them to me. Let them know about Creativity Talks. The more conversations that we have about creativity, the best, I think. Have a wonderful week, and I will speak to you all again very, very soon. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode of Creativity Talks. To see the show notes and to find out more about how you can get more creative, go to www.creativitytalkspodcast.co.uk or search for the hashtag Creativity Talks. If you enjoyed the show, please let other people know about it by sharing this episode or the podcast webpage. You can also leave a review on whatever platform you are listening on. All reviews and recommendations are deeply appreciated and help to ensure that I can continue to make more episodes and inspire as many people as possible. Take care and stay creative.